Well, as I was looking at the texts that we were going to talk about today, the ones that John just read for us, the one that jumped out at me is the last one that he read from the Gospel according to Mark. And it's a very interesting story filled with all of those things that make a story good, namely people that we can identify with and people that we can easily understand. And at this point, Jesus has been walking around with his close group of people. There's a dozen of them. And then there's been this larger group of people that follow him as best they can. But he's been teaching them things and showing them things for a number of at least months, possibly even years by now. And so the story kicks off with two of Jesus' followers, James and John, saying, "Hey, we've got a favor to ask." Now, all of you who have children know perfectly well that when things begin with, "I have a favor," rather than what they want, the chances of them asking for something you're going to give them reduce dramatically. Because you're being set up. They want you to say yes before they know what it is. And Jesus says, "Well, okay, what do you want?" And they say, "Well, when you get to the top of everything, because we know that's where you're eventually going to end up, all we want is to be at your right hand and your left hand," which is shorthand for saying we want to be tied for number two in importance. Jesus says, "Well, you don't really know what you're asking. You think you know, but you've got a misunderstanding of how all of this works. Can you do what I'm going to do?" And they say, "Well, of course we can, because that's what you say." He says, "Well, you are going to end up doing what I do, whether you want to or not. But what you're asking for isn't even something that I can give." Well, eventually the other 10 hear about this, as they always do. And they are indignant, they are angry, depends on what translation you read. They're not very happy about it, because how would they be? Because what it sounds like is that two of the 10 are trying to sort of take a shortcut to importance, which is also perfectly normal and perfectly human. I've met very few people who don't want to be important, who don't want to be able to do things. And it's not just because we've got this inflated sense of how wonderful we are and we just want people to look up to us just because, although that's a little part of it. Often we want to be important and to be able to do things because we know what needs to be done and we want to accomplish good things. So it's not just some kind of crazy power mad people that want to be important, to use the language here, to sit at the right and the left hand of Jesus when he comes into his glory. The problem is, we just don't understand how any of this works. And Jesus goes on to say, "Well, you understand how people who don't have a deep understanding of how God works, how they do things. The people who are at the top lord it over the people that are below, tell them what to do and don't care about them." He said, that's not the way it works here. Because Jesus goes on to say in verse 45, which is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I know you're not supposed to have favorites, but, well, I do. "For even the Son of Man," which is a very common label or title that Jesus took to himself. The Son of Man, it doesn't just mean the son of a human being. In this particular case, it's referring back to a number of times in the Old Testament where prophets would talk about this particular person, the Son of Man, who would come and make all things well. And what that meant was kind of confusing to back then. It's still a bit of confusing even now because it's not as perfect as we'd like. But Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man and then says something absolutely astonishing, because the Son of Man isn't just the best person. The Son of Man is someone who has a profound and significant relationship with God. And as we see as it transitions out of the Old Testament, where people were beginning to figure out some of these things, into the New Testament, we realize that the Son of Man is a label for God himself. Because that's who Jesus was. When Jesus came on earth, he was a unique event in that he was fully God and fully human at the same time, in a way we don't really understand because we're always just fully human. But Jesus is saying that this Son of Man, this person came to earth, which is obvious because he's there. And then he says something extraordinary. "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Well, think about that for a moment. Because what we have is Jesus self-identifying as this Son of Man, as someone as equal to God, if not God, as he was. And then saying the really odd thing, that he came to serve. Well, why? Well, there's a lot of reasons why you can serve people. It can be your job. If you work in a hotel or you work in a restaurant, that's what you do. That's what your title. You're a server. You serve people. It's a perfectly honorable profession. Many people do it. Sometimes you serve people because you're forced to. Not because you want to, but because you're in a situation that you have no options. If you've been drafted into the military, you're going to serve people, whether you want to or not, once you're in there. Sometimes you're forced to serve people because they're bullies, because they've physically or otherwise forced you to do things you wouldn't want to. And then sometimes you serve people because that's what you do best and because that's what they need. Service isn't always about being forced to. It isn't always about getting paid to. How many of you here are here to enjoy the opportunity to witness a baptism? And what you're going to see are some very proud but kind of tired parents. And why are they tired? Because they've been serving this little demanding human 24 hours a day since they were born, and even for half the partnership before they were born. We serve our children. Why? Our first foray into children was with twins, so we did it in a group. We were outnumbered the moment they showed up. They didn't pay us to serve them. And in the baptismal pictures of our twins, we look more than tired. We look terrible. Twins are a lot of work. Well, babies are a lot of work, and that's just all there is to it. We wouldn't have chosen any other thing. Somebody once asked if our babies were good. Well, actually, a bunch of people asked, and you've probably had this yourself. People, do you have a good baby? And we tried to figure out, what does that mean? And we realize what they're asking is, do you have a convenient baby? You know, a baby that sleeps when you want it to, so you get enough rest, that eats when it's... Okay, we didn't have any convenient babies. Out of the three we had, none of them were convenient. And when they're two of them at a time, they're not just twice as inconvenient, they're at least four times as inconvenient. Like I said, if you look at the pictures of us as a family for the first two or three years, the kids always look great, and we look like we've got the flu or something. Because we were just tired all the time. And we were tired because we were serving the needs of our children. Not because somebody paid us to. Not because it was a job. Because you couldn't pay me enough to work that hard. We weren't bullied into it. We weren't guilted into it. We did it because we loved them. Because if we didn't do it, they couldn't do it for themselves. Now, this is a picture into what Jesus is talking about. Because when Jesus came to serve us, it wasn't because he was forced to come here. Nothing can force Jesus. He wasn't paid to be here. Jesus came. God came to earth to serve us because God looked at us and said, these people need something that they can't do for themselves. We've tried lots of different ways. If you look in the Old Testament and you look at sort of world history going back as far as we can, people tried to figure out what it was they needed to do and how to do it and how to behave well and all of those things. And we just didn't seem to be figuring it out. So God came in the form of Jesus to say, this is how it works. And the way it works is not that the strong oppress the weak, not that the strong do whatever they want and don't care about anybody else. But Jesus said when it works the way it's supposed to, the strong serve the weak, the rich serve the poor, the healthy serve the sick, because they're the ones who can. You don't ask your babies to change themselves any more than you're going to ask them to pick out your clothes. That's not the way it works. You do what they need because they need it. And you do it not because you're forced into it, but because you love them. Because you want them to be healthy. Because you want them to be well. Because, especially for... Okay, I'll pick on men because that's all I am. I can sort of understand slightly how women might think, but I do understand how men think. And we tend to be dramatically unself-aware about how selfish we are until babies show up. And once they show up, we suddenly go, oh, it's not all about me. Well, it never was, and hopefully you figured that out at some level. But when you've got babies around, it is so obviously not about you or about your partner or about anything else. When your baby wakes up at 2 a.m, there's nothing else in the world that matters. Sure, you're tired. Maybe you have to go to work the next day. Maybe you've been asleep for an hour. If you have twins who get off sequence, maybe you haven't really been asleep yet at all. You've just sort of zoned out for a while. But you get up and you do what that baby needs. Not because you're being paid, not because you're being forced, but because that's what needs to be done and you're the only person who can do it. And you want to. Jesus talks about being a servant. In other places, he talks about being a servant to all. The Apostle Paul, in his writing, talks often about how we are called to be the kind of people who serve, who see the needs that need to be addressed, and we address them, not because we're forced to, not because we're paid to, although sometimes we are, but because that's the kind of people we are. Because when we look at a world that's all messed up, and it is, we look at people who make bad choices, even when we've told them better choices to make, over and over and over again, we still help them. Because the strong serve the weak, because we love them. And when we forget about that, we're reminded again that Jesus, God Himself, came to this earth to show what it means to care for the weak and the sick, and to love people just because they are. The celebrations of baptism today are just a reminder of how important it is to be around people who need us. Lots of you are here just because you know someone who has a baby. Maybe you're related, maybe not. But you want to be part of encouraging these people to do what they can, to do the best job they can raising these little humans so they can do what it is that they've been uniquely put on earth to do. That's service. That's being a servant. It's not a bad word. It's a wonderful word when we think of it the right way. And if nothing else, as Jesus, if God Himself can say, well, service needs to be done, I'll do it. Who are we to say we're too good for it? Amen.